It's time to kick it off, yeah. It's time to do a great MMA show. It's here with topics you like out of the desert where the sun gets hot. So drop on into that MMA spot.
Thank you for joining me today on the MMA show. And we have a very serious topic that we're talking about today, but I'm hoping that it will bring some clarity, maybe some relief, maybe some understanding. And this week we're talking about suicide, and I have a wonderful lady who's joining us today, and you might remember her. Her name is Cynthia Hyatt. She's a psychotherapist here in the Valley, and I just wanted to ask her to come and give her expertise on maybe what is the mindset that they have, how can we understand what they might be going through, and then how can people who love that person that committed suicide deal with it, and what are some ways that they can put a really great grasp on it and handle that situation. So welcome, Cynthia, to the program.
Thank you.
Okay, so we're talking about suicide. It's not an easy topic to discuss, and not too many people really talk about it, as far as I've seen, you know. And in around the holidays, around especially December, there's the high rate of suicide. And I know that it hasn't been that long ago since we celebrated the holiday season, and several people have decided to take the final step and end their life.
Yes.
Can you help us understand, because it's really hard to get your mind around why someone would take their life, how come they would do it? A loved ones think it's selfish, or they have anger because they feel like they could have done more, but then it happened and they feel guilty, they feel angry that they couldn't stop it. So can you kind of walk us through that person's mindset? Because I think that's the only way we can really start beginning to heal with some understanding.
Well, one of the biggest proponents of suicide is a lack of attachment. And I know that may sound odd, but the more disconnected we get from ourselves, the more disconnected we are from God and from others. And people will suicide when they're not connected. See, even if they're angry with you, they may not suicide, because that's a connection. They feel attached to something or someone. And so once they start losing that attachment to any person on the planet, and especially to themselves and to God, then that is a whole different reality mindset. And they're, in that way, there really isn't any point to living. Because when people are connected, then they stay. So even the wealthiest people with all the resources, if they're not connected to somebody, they will many times kill themselves. We either get that or we get the Unabomber. Because humans have to attach to the human. And they lose their humanity when they lose any attachment to themselves or to God and others.
Does that start from childhood, or could it happen at any time in their life?
Well, there's a series of events that generally have to occur, or okay. There's a particular lifestyle. Many times a huge disconnect with a person's self is any kind of self-medicating. So any kind of drugs, alcohol abuse, street drugs, any types of addictions have a tendency to disconnect the person from themselves, because they don't want to feel whatever pain they have inside or whatever pain they are perceiving as outside. So maybe they feel horrible rejection and feelings of failure, feelings of, you know, all kinds of horrible psychological feelings inside and emotions. Or maybe the way their world is working is causing them tremendous pain. They may have lost a relationship, a job, series of failures. They may be facing a debilitating disease. So whatever it is that's going on internally and externally causes that need to, I don't want to be here anymore. I don't want to feel this. I don't want to be inside of myself. I don't want this life. And if there isn't a way to resolve that, then the eventual end oftentimes is we either have somebody that has a psychotic break or become overly depressed, you know, chronically. They may then develop another illness, or they may suicide. And so it's one of these things to remind ourselves that with suicide, nobody's in their right mind when they do it. This is why God talks about there being no condemnation, because sane people don't kill themselves. Sane people like you and I that are in a really deep, difficult emotional time, you might think things like, oh, I wish I could die.
Yeah.
This is too much. Or, Jesus, why can't you just come back right now?
Right.
I can't take it, you know. But actually crossing over this kind of invisible line where all of a sudden suicide actually is an answer, there's a spiritual dynamic that happens where I now am befriending suicide, which is death and murder. Once I have befriended that, and that becomes more like a safe, dark place that I can hide in, that is my own private world, that I can think on and entertain and, you know, consider when I will and how I will, making that plan is then becomes very tempting and very, what's the word I'm looking for, very invigorating, because all of a sudden they feel like they have control over something and they're going to do it successfully.
Wow. So that would be the key, because they've been feeling like a failure.
Oftentimes.
So this is going to be a success for them. Mm-hmm. That's huge. And you're...
I mean, there's other reasons, but what happens is all of a sudden I feel like I have some control over something. Now I have some choice. Because when people get in those really dark places where they just think, I just want to die. This is killing me. I hate this life. It's generally because they feel like they don't have good choices or they have no control anymore, that they can't make their life work. For whatever reason, they cannot figure out how to turn things around or find hope or make your life work in some way. You know, we have that famous verse that says, without vision, people perish.
That's right.
Well, in the NAS version, which I found a couple of years ago, it says, without vision, the people lack restraint.
Huh.
And so when someone has no hope for the future, there's no really point to it. There's no reason to live. Well, then it's eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow I shall die. It's like, who cares? I'll spend all my money. I won't take care of my body. I won't manage my relationships. Who cares? There's no vision. There's no hope. There's no future for me. So if there's no future for me, my current day doesn't really make any difference what I do.
I think that's sad that they even think that if they're married or have children, mm-hmm. because clearly their family's trying to reach out to them. Mm-hmm. And I don't understand why they're not comprehending that thought that there is a reason to live, that there are people that care about him. It's a real hard pill to swallow that...
But see, it's incomprehensible because it's insane. So it isn't logical. There's nothing logical about it. So for whatever reason, the connection, they're not making that connection. They're not able to integrate that there are good things here. There, you know, people do love me. But they may feel like nobody loves them. It doesn't matter what you say. They may not feel that. And, you know, we've talked before... together, and when I've told you that saying, feelings are very real but not always true.
Mm-hmm.
See, once a person crosses over and just believes their feelings, and that's their new truth, so they're then highly deceived.
Big time.
Because the truth they're believing is their feelings, and their feelings are telling them that there's no hope, there's no reason to live, nobody loves me, I can't take it anymore, I'm a failure, I'm a loser, I'm letting everybody down, you know, there's no future for me. And they start believing all that despondency and despair and weariness and overwhelm. And so it becomes, and the solution is, I just have to get out of this moment. I can't stay here. I can't live like this.
Wow. You know, what's really scary to me is the fact that so many young people are getting addicted to prescription medication. Mm-hmm. Whether it's given to them or they find it in their home and they pass it out at school or they pass it out wherever they go. Because I just talked to a physician this week, and I don't know anything about medication. Mm-hmm. And this doctor told me that opiates kill the ability to make yourself happy. And I'm just like, oh my gosh. And doctors prescribe them, and they do prescribe them in a safe manner. But it makes me scared because it's like more and more people are getting addicted. And I don't want people's ability to create happiness within themselves with the chemical processes that happen in your brain, because I don't want any more families to suffer with losing the loved ones.
Exactly, exactly.
And I don't know how to fix the solution.
Well, always the number one solution against suicide is relationship and healthy relationship. If people are working on being a healthy person emotionally, psychologically, spiritually, and really taking seriously how they affect other people and understanding what behaviors or ways of interacting that they may be doing that may be doing little deaths in that person's life, then that's part of how we stay connected. That's part of how everybody stays here. And so it's imperative that we really practice healthy relating styles. Now, again, though, you know, you could be a really healthy person, mm-hmm. and if you're met with someone that is damaged, you can do everything you can, but if they don't work on undoing the damage, or if the damage is too severe, like in someone that's been addicted to, you know, crystal meth anything that's a really a chemical or mm-hmm. any of the opiates, any of the narcotics, there are some things that happen to the brain that may not be able to be reversed.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can get them off opiates,
mm-hmm.
crystal, crack, cocaine, all of that, but they may need to stay on methadone the rest of their life if they're committed to doing that. The problem is if they do that, or there's one called Suboxone as well, that really helps people that got into that kind of a horrible bondage,
mm-hmm.
but it also has deleterious effects on their body,
oh.
and the bone marrow, and being able to produce bone. And
oh, wow.
So there's lots of, you know, there really certainly the only solution is God. I mean, God is,
yes.
you know, and God can miraculously heal people.
Yes.
But in the meantime, the ways that we can help people stay healthier and give them hope and vision is we're connected to them and we love them. But even then, see, God loves them as well.
Yes.
And it didn't matter. It didn't fix the problem. Because there still is that person's side of the street that they have to do.
That's true. They have to want to get the help. Now, that was interesting that you said that about even though they can get off the drugs, that the damage to the brain has already been done. It's not something I ever thought about.
Mm-hmm.
Even in my own family, I mean, wow, that was kind of shocking to think that I think that the solution would have been if he just got off drugs altogether in a safe way where it's not just cold turkey. Because once you're on those hardcore drugs, you can't just go cold turkey and expect yourself to be okay.
No, you could die.
You could definitely die. That withdrawal is scary,
mm-hmm.
and it could do crazy things to your body. But I didn't even think that, I mean, that brain damage is done and it's permanent. It doesn't come back.
Because you see, our brain, the way our brain has a lot to do with our spirit. And our mind is a part of our soul and our spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're sitting here in front of your computer and you're restored in your soul and in your spirit, but your computer won't work because there's damage to the hard drive that can't be undone, that's a difficult way to live. Now, it's very possible. Because there are some things like staying on methadone or Suboxone for the rest of your life. That replaces what was stolen by the opiates, and it replaces it in a healthier manner. But it still is, you are now drug addicted the rest of your life. And you can't go off it. And so it is now, God many times can supernaturally heal that and restore
sure.
that. And,
sure.
and he has. But that is rare. And some of that maybe we don't avail ourselves as much, or we don't have to, because we've gotten some other solutions. You know, I'm not sure. But it is very difficult to come back if you have had a very long drug history with a chemical. That's different than drug history sometimes with alcohol or tobacco or marijuana. The brain damage, alcohol can do terrible brain damage to people if it has been long-term alcoholism, or a lot of it.
This is something new I didn't know either, and I just found out this year that a long-term abuse of alcohol could cause brain damage.
Oh, very, very much
so. I didn't know that.
Like Alzheimer's, like dementia. Okay, there's not the ability to recall. There isn't the ability to do abstract problem-solving. The ability to retain information and have any short-term memory. Very difficult.
Unfortunately, we ran out of time this week on the program, so please tune in next week as we continue this discussion. And so thinking about number one, just yourself, think about number two, somebody else, because eventually number two will look out for you.